This episode is a two-part episode. If you enjoyed part one, please come back next week, Wednesday morning, for part two.
Everything that they told you, they passed on to you. Mm-hmm. But you also read it in your books, and it was in history class. And I said, yeah, what are you passing on to your kids?
Wow, that's deep.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. Today, we have Randy McKillop, president and founder of Courtyard of Honor, a 501c3 nonprofit. Randy, welcome to episode 75 of the American Grown Podcast.
Appreciate it, Austin. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, I'm glad you could make it in. And off air, we're talking about just so much great stuff you're doing. And I'm excited to bring it to the listeners so they can hear and learn about what you do and kind of the behind the scenes work that you're doing.
Absolutely. It's a great opportunity here. The Earth Thing is fantastic what you do, especially with the podcast and able to get this out to the listeners. Because what we want to do is we all want to learn. We all need to learn more. We all need to tell more. And this is a perfect opportunity to do that.
I couldn't agree more. You know, that's it. You're always learning. You know
yes,
what I mean? You're always
absolutely.
Learning every day. So let's get some background about yourself. Randy, you know, where did you grow up and what was your early childhood like?
Sure. I was born and raised in Meadville, Pennsylvania, the far northwest corner. Pennsylvania, the snow country.
Okay.
Moved down here in 72 during the Great Agnes Flood. For those listeners that are that age, I'm dating myself already. But I was basically raised in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I went there from first grade through graduation and then have raised my family in the central Pennsylvania area all my life.
I thought you smelled a little sweet when you walked in, that fresh chocolate smell.
That's,
you know?
That's where my weight comes from.
Well, that's everybody, man.
Yeah,
how can you
go
wrong with Hershey chocolate?
No, you can't. Sweetest place on earth. Grew up very fortunate where I grew up.
Growing up, what did you do for fun? Did you play any sports in high school?
Sure. I played two sports. I played basketball and baseball. Played football when I was younger. Made the high school team, but a JV team in ninth grade because we were from a separate building.
Okay.
So Hershey High back then was 12th, 11th, and 10th grade at the high school. Ninth grade was at the middle school, which was the old building across from the Hershey Theater,
yeah.
The big brick building. And in that time then, I, fortunate enough, growing up and playing summer ball every year, was able to make the high school squad, but the JV team. And at that time, we had a great relationship with everybody on the squad. I mean, we're all tight because we all played together for years, played different leagues, summer leagues, Legion ball, the whole thing. And in 1982, fortunate enough to be a state champ in 4A baseball. And we were the first team in Hershey High School's history of the major sports teams to win a state championship.
Wow. What was that like?
It was amazing. It was amazing. It was, we were a small community then, about two-thirds of what Hershey is now. But the entire town, the city, the staff, the students, student body, everyone was behind us. We had an incredible parade down through town, and this was all played at Shippensburg at that time, at Shippensburg University. And we beat a team from Pittsburgh called Pitt Langley, and that's when there were only, oh, actually, I'm sorry, it was AAA, because there was only single, double, and AAA back then. Compared to now, there's six. Back then, there were only three, so we were playing the biggest squads, you know, 2,500 in a class. And we were graduating class of 200. And we had a great squad, a great team. The way this all started with what I'm doing now was we had an opportunity to work with the seniors and the freshmen got together. And we're walking across this field and there's these, we considered them giants, you know. We're ninth grade. We're the giants of ninth grade, you know.
It's yeah.
Sixth through ninth, and then we walk across this field and through the field, and my God, there's giants. There's grown men. There's beards. There's mustaches. Chewing tobacco back then.
You know,
and we're like, oh, my God, what?
Where are we? What
the hell we get ourselves into? You know, but it was for the love of the game. Yeah. Love of the team. And first day of practice, we're there, and there were quite a few of us that we threw hard. We were pitchers, threw real hard. And the coach says, warm up, boys. You know, grab a teammate, warm up. Well, of course, the freshmen are going with the freshmen and everybody. And I'm there and warming up with my buddy. And as I catch the ball to my left, there's the senior, Mike Horrocks. Rocks, who was a multifaceted, athletic football player, baseball player. Just a great guy. But just was the epitome of what an athlete looked like.
I say overall athlete build.
Blonde hair, yeah, build, smile, you know, just had everything.
Yeah.
And I turn and I'm like, oh my God. And we're throwing and throwing. And then again, I'm like, oh my God. And we're throwing. And the whole time, back then there was hazing.
Okay.
Okay. It wasn't anything crazy. But the second or third time I tilted that way, Mike looks right at me and says, just stand here. They won't bother you. And I didn't know what that meant, you know, and I'm okay. So as practice went on and then after that day, we split, you know, into JV and varsity basically, because there weren't any real freshmen at that time that were going to play varsity ball, because there was plenty of 10th, 11th and 12th graders that were going to make the varsity. And afterwards they're like, how do you know Rocks? How do you know Rocks? I said, I don't know him. You know, nobody knew who he was. I said, I just standing next to him, you know, and it just was something that he was just, he had a demeanor to himself. He had a way. It wasn't even a swagger. It wasn't a cockiness. It was genuine, just a cool dude. You know, just one of those rocks. You mm-hmm. know, just a cool rocks. Dude, you know. Yeah. Played third base, you know. Just fun loving, made things loose. You know, just made you feel like you're a part of something. And back then it was JVs would play away. Varsity would play home, varsity would play away, JV would play. So we never really see each other. And went on through that and then played some college ball and then raised a family and stayed in town. Never really left my core, which was my parents bringing me up, was do everything you can, but at the same time, do things right. And at the same time you do things right, make sure you give back. It was always, my father was a consummate educator. My mother was a consummate giver. You know, me and my buddies meet at the door. My mom has a bowl of candy and sandwiches and everything there. You know, the old school.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, and it was like, oh my God.
Mom was awesome.
Mom was awesome, and dad was my biggest fan, and dad taught me everything in sports and sportsmanship. He taught me the definition of assume. So if you know the definition of assume?
I'd like to hear your version of it.
My father's definition of assume is you make an ass out of you and me.
Uh-huh.
And he taught me that at a young age. I wasn't quite behaving myself out on the mound. I was taking a fit. Was acting up, throwing my glove, you know, upset. You know, I was pretty intense.
As a kid might, you know, do from time to time.
You do it and you learn from your mistakes, your examples. And he said, I assumed you knew what you were doing on the field. And he said, but you made an ass out of me to everybody in the stands.
Yeah.
And it hit me, you know. So then it was just something that I've always remembered, something that I've always taken to heart. And we had that opportunity through all of that. I helped coach teams. I was a pitching coach. Always wanted to give back to people. And then from there, we can fast forward to basically I'll get right into 9/11.
Please.
And the reason why I'm here and the reason why we've set up the Courtyard of Honor is one of three legs of a stool. But for me, my passion is 9/11. It was, of course, September 11th, 2001, day that changed the world. About a month after that, I found out that Mike Horrocks, my teammate, was the co-pilot of United Airlines Flight 175. Which was the second plane that crashed into the South Tower, which is the one that everyone witnessed live on television, that everybody knew at that point then that the first one wasn't a mistake, that it was terrorism. And it really, really not only changed everybody's world, but my father and I were in governmental consulting. We were in the political world. We were doing consulting and small business development. So we really had a handle at the in Harrisburg. And when that took place, it was, you know, the day was not only devastating, but being at the office, people saying, and we had an office in downtown Harrisburg, they said, you need to leave. And we're like, what's going on? They said, there's still a jet in the air. Well, from where the jet was coming, which was Pittsburgh area, wouldn't make it to D.C. Right along that river line would be Harrisburg. So it was, you know, rushed home, watched my dad and my mother, and were with them because I was working with my father at that time. And just heard my father saying, my God, those innocent people. My God, those innocent people. And then we heard about Flight 93 at that time crashing in Shanksville, and heard about the Pentagon. And it just rattled my cage and my very core, as it did most people that were of that age that were trying to start out in the world of living and raising a family, you know.
How old, roughly? I didn't mean to cut you off, but...
No, I'm 57 now, so it was I was in my mid-30s.
Yeah.
I just had a baby girl.
Oh, wow.
Our second child. Oh, and congratulations. Oh,
thank you.
On your son. I should have yeah. started that off earlier.
Thank you, Randy. Yeah, Finn and our daughter Parker. Yeah, we got a great little family going.
There you go. You yeah. got one of each.
Very proud
of
them.
I yeah. got one of each, and it makes you not only more humble,
yeah.
but makes you appreciate life
mm-hmm.
more because you got the next generation.
Definitely.
So with that, I found out that Michael... or Rocks, what we always called him, was the co-pilot. And that really hit home, not only with the alumni, but with just the sports teams, just the teams, the camaraderie of teams, and everybody always knew who played baseball, who played football, who played basketball. You know, you always had that in your life. And it went on for years like that, but there wasn't any acknowledgement, which really upset me. So after about the 7th anniversary of 9/11, there really was no acknowledgement. And back then, there was no social media.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So
right.
you actually...
no did iPhones.
Have, yeah, we did know. Have computers. Okay.
yeah,
we actually
true.
Could type and print out off computers.
Were there beepers? I'm trying
yeah,
to think.
There, yeah. yeah. There were beepers yeah, back beepers. Then, and there were, you know, weren't phones. But I would write letters to the editor, to the Harrisburg Patriot at that time, which is Penn Live. To the Hummelstown Sun, which is still there. And then there was a third paper called the Hershey Chronicle. And I would just write letters to the editor right around 9/11 saying, why aren't we doing anything? I don't, you know, I don't quite get this. And it came around about the, right before the 10th anniversary. A friend of mine was on the Derry Township Hershey High School School Board. And he was able to, he called me up and he goes, I got it for you. And I said, what? And he says, we can do a memorial for Mike. You know, and I'm like, so excited.
Definitely.
So in a matter of 6 weeks, with the help of many people and myself, we raised $35,000. And behind the Hershey High School in the practice field is a memorial, or a monument, memorial, headstone, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But it's dedicated to Michael being a Hershey High alumni, 1981. And with that, from then on, every year since, I have to give a shout out to two of my board members, which is Doug Jones and Frank Jones and his brother Mark Jones. They all put on throughout the day of 9/11, or if it falls on a weekend, a Monday or Friday, for all the students of Derry Township in the middle school and high school, all the social studies classes. And they bring them out every year to make sure they don't forget not only who the alumni is, but what actually took place on 9/11. And again, dating myself now is... students right now and kids that are being born weren't born during 9/11.
Right. They didn't live through. I mean, so just, I was in third grade.
Yeah. So tell me your story.
Yeah,
because everybody has a story.
Everybody has a story, right? Everybody remembers where they were for 9/11. And it was third grade, South Lebanon Elementary School. And I remember all the teachers were just, you could tell something was up, acting different. We
yeah.
couldn't watch it, but it was fifth grade and up, I think, could. The fifth graders, for some reason, had it on. And, you know, rumors, kids were talking and you know, then get home. and you see the footage, parents talk to you, my mom and dad, you know, explaining like what had happened, you know, because my parents are always very upfront and open, you know, and honest about things. They didn't hide anything because it's going to come out eventually, but it definitely changed how I looked at, I mean, again, I was young, but how I looked at the world and the perspective, you know, in middle school, you think, oh, everything's, you know, good and you know, wholesome. And to be like, wow, just how could anybody even think about that? To this day, it and now, like you said, having kids, having two young kids, I'm more maybe reserved. And I try to be, as a father, just as protective as possible because you see the evil that's out there, you know. And
all the time.
All the time. So that's kind of my story. Yeah, I was third grade. I don't remember exact things about it, but I remember they were keeping it a secret from us at school. Obviously, heck, I think we even got out early because no one knew what was going to happen or what was going on.
You didn't know what the next step was.
Yeah.
You didn't know what was going to take place. And I had a, tell you two stories with this. I had a veteran come up to me. I want to make one thing perfectly clear. I'm not a veteran. I'm not an emergency responder. I'm not police, fire, ambulance. My dedication to this is just as close, which is a teammate for life, which was Mike Horrocks as a baseball player.
Rocks, yeah.
Rocks. And I had a veteran come up to me and ask me if I've been raising my children properly. I said, wow, that's a pretty deep question. I said, you know, and he was older gentleman. And he says, well, he says, I don't like what I'm seeing. And I said, I know. I said, I agree with you. He says, they're taking down monuments. They're taking down memorials. They're stopping education. They're stopping history. And he says, you young man, and he hits me in the chest, and he says, you had a front row seat. And I said, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And he said, you're old enough. You had your grandfather and your father, and you'd sit on a shag carpet in your living room or in your parents' living room, your grandparents' living room, but they told you what you read about in the history books. They lived it. The Great Depression, World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, Cuban Missile Crisis, you know, all these things. And I said, yeah. And he says, so they passed that all on to you. Everything that they told you, they passed on to you. Mm-hmm. But you also read it in your books and it was in history class. And I said, yeah. What are you passing on to your kids?
Wow, that's deep.
It hit me.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm a little bit different because I'm raising awareness for the veterans, emergency responders, victims of 9/11, and especially my teammate. And he says, so maybe 50% of what you learned? Okay. If you want to put a number. And I said, well, what's that mean? He goes, what are your kids going to pass on?
Whoa. If you're only passing 50%, what are your kids going to pass on?
And he says, what's their terrorism? And he said, stealing identities? Taking somebody's credit card number? And he goes, they don't understand war. They don't understand what really happened. You know, and it hit me. So that really was one of my very first meetings of actually presenting as to what our concept was, as to what we were going to do. And it hit me really hard because you want to raise your children the right way. And, you know, I'm not going to preach about all this, but, you know, you want to raise your children the right way, but you want them to be so diversified that they know a little bit about a lot. My children are both fortunate enough. My son's 32, my daughter's 23. Both fortunate enough to hear me and listen to me and watch me speak about the war on terrorism. They know it inside and out, but they always learn something new. That they may pass on just because of me. But most of the history books don't even have this information anymore.
It's a shame, right?
So I have an incredible board. I have an incredible group of volunteers. I have an incredible group of people that want to make sure we never forget. And that's basically what we're trying to do here. I'm not saying we have. When I get into this detail, I'm not giving excuses. I'm not saying what may or may not have happened. That doesn't matter anymore. Let's just get it done. And let's do it for the right reasons.
Exactly. Yeah.
This isn't controversial.
No. I can see how it is, yeah.
This is to honor those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice, those that have served to make sure our country has stayed safe, those that have made sure that we have the benefits of what we have today in living in the greatest country in this world, no matter what chaos is going on right now.
Yeah.
We're still the greatest country.
Yes.
So with this, it just has the opportunity for me to be a part of something special, be fortunate enough to be a part of this, that most people don't have that opportunity, but the chance to give back and the chance to actually educate others. The mission, the passion, the reason, the purpose, the delivery. And when I get into the details of this, how this is going to stay there forever. And next generations and next generations will be able to do that.
Covering so much there, and it is kind of wild to think, like, my kids, yeah, what are they going to learn in history? You know, what's their history books going to be about? Puts things into...
What are their wars? What are their terrorisms?
Right. Yeah.
A lot of it is electronically. And then when something does happen, it's shocking. An example is between Hershey and Milton Hershey High Schools, there's 107 Gold Star members. And a Gold Star member is an individual that lost their lives in war. So between two schools in one small town, 107 alumni lost their lives. Some as young as 18. Serving our country.
And people don't know. They don't realize. They have no idea.
Don't realize that.
I didn't know. You just educated me on that. Yeah,
you just don't realize that. There's so much local history for every community, whether it's Dauphin County, Lebanon County, Lancaster County, Cumberland County. It doesn't matter. Every small town has a veterans memorial. Some small towns, and Lebanon's doing this right now, building that emergency responders memorial, building, getting those pavers to honor those that serve us and make sure that we're, what, happy, healthy, alive,
yeah,
safe.
Alive. Right, right.
All at one time.
Can go to bed at night, rest our head on our pillow, and not have to worry about anything.
Rest our head on our pillow softly and know that those kiddos are right next door with us.
Yeah.
Where we raised them the right way, that they're leading that to their children. It's a generation. I don't consider a generational gap, but there's a difference in the generations here. And the other thing is, instantaneously, man, you can get information. There's no more doing your work. There's no more, you know, getting out the pen and paper and, you know, Dewey Decimal System, which I still don't understand, but I tried my best.
Yeah, right. You
know? It was always that or just doing reports. And now you have to learn from others. You have to go and you have to educate yourself. And it's a quest. My father told me at the 10th anniversary, and he passed away 7 years ago, but prior to that, he said to me, one day, just timing is everything. You'll bring Michael home, meaning I'll bring him downtown Hershey. He said, just timing is everything. And when we get into this, the timing's amazing with what's taking place. We have less than 3 years, and it's the 25th anniversary. 25 years.
Time flies. You know, 25 years. 25th
anniversary. After the 25th, no one's going to care till the 50th. You know, you have your 10, you have your 20, you have your 25.
Yeah, the big ones.
And then you wait till 50. I may be worm food by then.
I hope not.
I may be.
But you're right.
57.
I guess,
you know, I have to pass the average age of the expectancy of a human being.
That's crazy. That's crazy, though. I mean, you don't think about it. You got your work, your day-to-day routine, whatever it is you do. But, yeah, you want to honor these people and do it right. So let's dive in. Courtyard of Honor.
Let's take a break for a second.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Why don't we take a break for a second?
Yeah. Let's take a sip break. I need to grab myself a drink. I wasn't sure if we're going to...
Oh, no, I want to crack that open because I'd like to...
Yeah, yeah.
When we start,
what do you
think? I'd really like to start that and just say I want to explain to this and pour this to you because I want to go into the details of what we're doing.
Do you want
to...
Yeah.
So I thought we can do that.
Let's do that.
We can go into all that.
Yep.
Does that give you enough of
a backstory? Yeah, I mean, I'm good.
Yeah, Randy, we'll shout out. Yeah, we'll shout out more and more. But I thought that may be a good segment to then start to, you know, get into the meat of this.
Let's do it.
I think I'll just start now with the whole thing of Courtyard of Honor and what it means and what we're doing.
Perfect. I'm with you. Let's do it. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So, I guess where I want to go from here is I really want to, the reason and the purpose why I'm here is I'm representing thousands of people across the United States, Pennsylvania, central Pennsylvania, especially Derry Township in Hershey, because that's where Mike Horrocks or Rocks graduated from in 1981. And with that, I have the privilege and the honor to do something different. How do you want to put it? It's hard to put into words what this means, because most people exist, very few live, was a term that people have always said. I want to live. I want people to know who I am. I want people to be able to approach me. I want people to hear the passion of what is my life's work now, what I'm dedicated to. And with that is the honor of working with veterans, honoring 107 Gold Star families, not forgetting those that have served, those that we've lost, those that are serving currently, even in the National Guard. And then you have the emergency responders of the fire, police, ambulance.
Yeah.
But we also want to include canine. Those police officers have a partner for 7 to 9 years. And that's devastating when they have to retire or put them down.
Yes.
And they support, and their support through the entire system. So we're also going to be able to honor canine. And at the same time, we're going to honor 2,977 innocent people that lost their lives on 9/11. And one of those is First Officer Co-Pilot Michael Horrocks. And with that, we've had the benefit and the privilege to work with a local company, a distillery entitled Hidden Still. And in meeting with Dave Stein, who's a local Lebanon County man, and moved his distillery to Hershey, I met up with him one day and I said, "Boy, there is no spirit of 9/11. I'd really like to do something in honor of Mike. And that name Rocks, I'd really like to do something with Honor Rocks." And Dave's just like, "I'm in. Let's do it." Worked with his staff, worked with his group, and there is a bourbon, a straight bourbon whiskey that is 91.1 proof for 9/11. And it is entitled On the Rocks Never Forget.
Wow. Yes.
And it is dedicated to Michael. And on this, it has, "In memory, Hershey, Pennsylvania, hometown hero, Michael Rocks Horrocks. There are 9 stars and there are 2 stripes. This bottle's already been opened. I share it with people that want to help me, want to help the cause." So what we always do is we tell people there are, this can be purchased in Hershey. It can be purchased online anywhere in Pennsylvania, but we're going to expand it. But we ask people to purchase 2 bottles, the Twin Towers. You drink one and enjoy one casually. Then you keep another bottle aside. And on every 9/11, you pour a shot in honor of those that lost their lives that day. There is no spirit of 9/11. I'd love for this to reach out to all tentacles across the United States, across the world, that people can share this for the right reasons. Not promoting alcohol. I'm promoting conversation. I'm promoting people coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers, sisters, wives, husbands, teammates, classmates, people that work together, people that were veterans together, served together, still serve today. But we cannot forget. We can never forget. So in doing that, I have these glasses that have On the Rocks Never Forget, and I'd like to pour yourself and I that we can sip from this because I enjoy my bourbon neat.
I'm with you.
Okay.
I greatly appreciate it.
This is something that you can purchase. And the other thing is 20% of every bottle that is sold goes to the Courtyard of Honor.
So 20%.
Wow. 20% of every bottle.
It's pretty good. Yeah,
so it's a $50 bottle.
Okay.
So we receive $10 of every bottle purchased. We have our logo on here. We have our QR code. The one thing we say is let's connect and never forget. It's an opportunity to do that. But the other thing is through your help and what you're doing, which is amazing, getting this word out with every podcast you have. But the opportunity of people that may not be aware, may want to come to Hershey, may have a loved one, may have a lost brother or sister, either in the war on terrorism or emergency responder or veteran that they just wish to honor. That's what this is for. So it's a beautiful label. It's dedicated to those. And with this now, I'd just like to raise the glass. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers.
I greatly appreciate that.
Thank you,
Thank
Randy.
You.
Yes.
Doesn't get much better than
that,
does it?
No, it doesn't. No.
It's a black label. It is 91.1 proof for 9/11. And it's a smooth drink.
That's good.
It's
yes.
They make a, the other thing is, ironically, they make a great Manhattan. 9/11, New York City,
right.
Manhattan. Put all that together. Old-fashioned. I'm old-fashioned. You
there
know,
you go. It all ties
how can,
in.
What else can we say?
Right. I'll have to stop out and see Steiny and purchase two bottles because this is very good, very smooth. And for everything it means and stands for, you know, if your listeners out there even questioning it, stop in and see. Go to the Hidden Still. See Steiny and his team there. And you're not going to go wrong. This is very good.
We're going to be spreading the word of this. We're going to be getting it out to all the liquor stores throughout Pennsylvania and expand it throughout other states. We're going to really try to promote this the month of September so people are aware. And then the other thing is on 9/11, at 9/11 p.m., mm-hmm. Dave Stein sets aside and we all meet at Hidden Still and we toast to Michael as well as everyone else that lost their lives on those days.
Wow.
We had over 100 people last year, our first year. My ultimate goal mm-hmm. is that every 9/11 at 9/11, every bar would take a moment and toast.
Yeah.
Because we're missing this day. We have somewhat forgotten. I'm not saying we have, but it's not as intense as what it once was. We don't ever wish anything like this to happen again.
No, and it's almost in some cases, maybe on the back burner, you know, where let's bring it to the front. Let's have conversation, you know, and educate.
Let's discuss this.
Yes.
Let's have conversation. Where was everybody?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you one other quick story before I really dive into this. I had a gentleman come up to me, and I can't even remember where I was speaking. I've been to so many different places and spoken to so many people, and so is the board and everybody involved, but a gentleman come up to me, and he says, my wife lost her uncle on 9/11. And I said, I'm so sorry to hear that. I've heard so many different stories. And he says, well, this one's unique. He says, you won't forget this one. So, you know, you kind of prepare yourself. And, oh, it was at Mission Barbecue. Mission Barbecue, helpful, incredible company. The one out on 22.
Yeah, it was 22.
In Harrisburg.
In Harrisburg, yep.
Amazing people out there. Bring me out for Veterans Day. Bring me out for 9/11. Bring everybody out there. It's just an amazing day. He says, my wife lost her uncle. And I said, well, was he a police officer? No. Did he work in there? Did he work in the tower?
Right, no. Right. No.
So is he a fireman? Yes.
Okay.
I said, wow. I said, I'm sorry to hear that. I said, those brave men and women that just put everything down, knew there was something going on, man, they run right in there. And he says, he went inside the tower, second tower, and smoke was coming out through the stairwell, and he pulled people out that were trying to find their way and pulled them out and went up again and came out a second time, and he was overcome with smoke. Somehow it had gotten in his mask or something, and he collapsed out on the sidewalk. A paramedic rushed over to him, and this guy's telling me this, like, word for word. And
okay.
I'm like, okay, and he says, They were giving him oxygen, bringing him back, and going to hit him with adrenaline, try to really stun him to come back. And a jumper landed on him and killed them both.
No. A jumper trying to get out of the depths of hell.
Landed on both of them and killed them.
Wow.
Speechless, right?
Yeah. What do you say?
How do you answer that? How do you even comprehend that?
I can't. I mean, that's just insane.
Never think of it.
No, never would have thought. I didn't know where you're going to go with that. I just thought smoke would have got him in the tower or something, but he made it out.
You have these people that are so desperate, 110 stories up, they know they are not going to survive. They have to get out of that fire.
And they jump.
They can't comprehend anything. There's no comprehension. They just know they're trying to survive any way they can. And this jumper lands on, and all three of them die? Jeez. Like, you can't.
You cannot comprehend it.
No. And there's that moment of silence, despair, shock. You see those pictures of the famous guy that jumped in his suit and he's going through air and they still can't identify who that gentleman is. You see these and hear these stories. But that one hits you different because you never expect it. And I've met so many people telling me so many different stories like that, or have a tale, or know exactly where they were. That is all part of what we as a group are trying to do.
Stay tuned for part two next week. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop, veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.